Thank you for tuning in this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wellbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Anthony Cosi, pastor here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, June 26, 2022, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Father Anthony.
I lived in South Carolina for a while when I graduated college, and my intermediate job, one of my part-time jobs, was as a lifeguard. When I arrived for my shift, there was a man proclaiming by the poolside, "He who does not accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior shall not inherit eternal life. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior." And I thought, how in the world am I going to get past this guy and get to my lifeguard stand? So the Holy Spirit came upon me, and as he was talking, "Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior," I put up my hand and gave him a high five, and I said, "Amen, brother." Gave him a high five and walked as fast as I could to my lifeguard stand. Thought I was in the clear. Then he came up to me and said, "Son, are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." And then he asked me the question, "What church do you belong to?" I thought, here we go. Because Catholics are far and few between in the Bible Belt. I said, "I go to Prince of Peace." And his jaw about hit the ground. And he looked at me and said, "You a Catholic?" And I said, "Some would say that." He said, "I'm a Catholic, yes." And he went on to proclaim to me the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And I thanked him because I'd been in seminary for many years. And we had a nice conversation. Being in the Bible Belt is a lot different than being in Northwest Ohio, where the majority of people are Catholic. And so I learned something of the division among Christians, especially Protestants and Catholics, the division among us. It's kind of a sad reality because one of Jesus' last prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane before he died was, "Father, I pray that they all may be one." And how many times do we continue to cause division and splinters among us? One of the biggest embarrassments as Christian people going out and evangelizing. Today's gospel is about a division among the Jewish people. And it goes back to about 700 years before Jesus. The northern tribes, there were 12 tribes that had settled from Moses in Israel. And the 10 northern tribes were captured and taken into Assyria. And many of them had intermarried with other people that were pagan, and they lost their Christian faith. They lost their Jewish faith. And so because of that, when they came back from exile, that whole region was an area where they were known as kind of like mutts or muggle bloods, where people really didn't listen to them. They didn't really care for them. But in order to get to Jerusalem, every year people would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. So the northern region was called Galilee, then there was Samaria, then the southern region was called Judea. And down in Judea is Jerusalem, Nazareth, and Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. So they'd have to travel from the northern region through this region of Samaritans and down to Jerusalem. And there was fighting that went on between them. One year on the Passover, they decided they were going to take some bones from some dead people and scatter them all over Solomon's temple, desecrating the temple, because Jewish law prohibited touching a dead body and worshiping. So that area had been decimated. They were also known, some of the Samaritans, to kill some of the Jewish pilgrims on their way down to Jerusalem. Murder, terrorism, violence. So in today's gospel, when John says to Jesus, "Jesus, do you want me to call down thunder from heaven and consume them?" You can realize some of the inner fighting that was going on. And Jesus looks at him and says, "No, I did not come to cause division." Division is not what Jesus is about. Jesus is about unity. And so we also read in Scripture, Jesus say, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the world? I did not come to bring peace, but the sword." And what's the sword that Jesus uses? It's his cross. "I came to bring peace, not just for earth, not for a political group like the Romans, or to build a utopian society here, but an eternal peace for you." and I came to use my sword to fight division, because I'm one who unites. And Jesus does it in a very gentle way. Paul tells us that the peace of the earth, the prince of the earth, is the devil, the one who likes division among people, dividing people, not allowing unity for people, time and time again, divide, divide, divide. And Jesus came to bring unity. And so we look at that and we think about the division that has happened time and time again among people. And Jesus came in very gently, right? He came and he did battle with the prince of this earth. But he did it behind enemy lines, kind of like a ninja or a stealth bomber or an ambush predator. Very quietly, underneath the radar of the devil. And he did it in the form of a baby. I'm going to go and do battle behind enemy lines very gently, like a stealth bomber. And then I'm going to grow and draw people to myself, and then die as the innocent victim on the cross. And so Jesus came to redeem us, to bring that peace to us. But of course, there was rejection of it. And so the devil has tried to destroy that peace in the hearts of people. If God is the one who is for unity, then the devil is the one who is for disunity and discord. And how have we seen that happen throughout history? Well, we've seen any time that there is division that's not among God. But the devil took one out of the playbook of God and decided to do division. And so the way he's done it is time and time again dividing people. Because he does not like the image of God that's written on people. We're created in the image of God. And who is God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is three. God is a family. And so the devil does not like families and does not like unity and does not like that. So he tries to divide it. But he took one out of the playbook of Jesus, right? It's like Jesus being a stealth bomber behind enemy lines. Likewise, the devil decided to work very quietly, not to pose unity, but to create disunity. And how have we seen disunity in our culture? Well, the devil's not going to do it just one day on Monday, then on Tuesday, and then you go by Wednesday. Like, I think the devil's causing discord among us, right? He's going to take a long time, very patiently and strategically. And we see that. Let's look at some division that the devil has caused in his playbook. The first one during the Industrial Revolution. I'm going to take fathers away from their families and work them all day long, right? Let's take fathers away for a long time. Fathers away from their families, time and again, right? Now I need to get mothers away. I've worked fathers to death. Let's work mothers to death and keep mothers away from their family. Right? After World War II, a lot of mothers start entering the workplace. Fathers are separated, mothers are separated. Now, let's separate husbands and wives with no-fault divorce. We separate the wife, we separate the husband, we separate mothers, we separate fathers. And then with extreme feminism, let's separate men, let's separate women. Time and time again, divide, 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 divide the family. And the most recent one, let's divide people in themselves. What's going on in my head doesn't match my body. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, or I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And let's divide people among themselves and destroy the image of God. And then the worst of all, let's tell mothers to separate themselves from their children. Divide mothers and children. And encourage them and say, it's okay to kill your babies. Divorce, right? Divide, divide, divide. So on the wake of Friday and the Supreme Court decision, we are given a moratorium, a pause, right? To reflect upon 50 years of this experiment. And the devil, being a stealth bomber, is watching Christians see how we respond. And he will take our language and he will twist it. And he will try to divide us time and time again, right? But we have to be careful, because now more than ever, we have to put our money where our mouth is and help out more and more mothers and children. At Cardinal Stritch, this year, every year, we've always taken kids to the March for Life. We pack a bus full, we go down there, we pray for mothers, we pray for children. This year, we were not able to fill a bus because the majority of my kids told me at our Catholic school, I'm pro-choice. Wow. And I thank them for their honesty, and I thought, we got our work cut out for us. We got our work cut out for us. Where is the disconnect that we are not communicating the message to them? And one of the things we do is we watch a video on the March for Life on the way down there, and I like this video because it shows four groups of people. And I let the students decide, and I let them look at them. The first column of people are all those that are pro-life. The second column are all those that are pro-choice. And then there's some that respond positively and negatively in both camps. Let's start with the pro-lifers that are positive. They're seen praying outside the abortion clinic. They're asking moms, hey, do you want to talk? Do you want to meet, you know? A spirit of accompaniment and being non-judgmental. The second group of people, the negative group down here, they're the ones telling people, you're a baby killer. You're going to hell. And judging and giving a bad rap to the whole cause. Then the people that are the pro-choicers that are positive. We want to help women. Women need help with their health, their crisis pregnancies. We need to accompany them. Good motives there. Wonderful motives. We can work with that. The problem being that they enable bad behavior. And so we can't say the truth without loving people, right? So if I have no love in my heart, I shouldn't be up here telling you the truth. If I can't love my parents, love my children, love my cousins, love whoever, I shouldn't tell them the truth yet. Because I'm now in no capacity to do it. Truth and love are two different sides of the same coin. You can't tell the truth without love, and you can't love without telling the truth. So if I love you, I have to tell you the truth because I want what is good for you. And so that's that camp. And the last camp, the pro-choicers that are negative. And I don't think the majority of Americans are like this, but there's a deep, dark culture out there of taking baby parts and doing things with them. And I'll just leave it at that. It's a dark part that gives a bad rap to it all. I could easily get up here and toot the horn and say, let's go Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade, right? But that's low-hanging fruit. We have to be careful with the language we choose because the devil is here to divide us. And the goal is to cause greater unity, not more division, right? Now that we have a moratorium and we're pushing it down to the states, the bishops of Ohio came out with a letter on Friday and they encouraged us, let's build a culture of life. Let's more than ever help all women, help children, help them find food, help them find employment. Let's work with lobbyists. Let's support good foster care, good adoption agencies. And we as Christians, more than ever, should be on the front lines doing that. Because this deals with life. What is life? It's existence. And when you mess with existence, you mess with eternity. We want to help them out. We don't want to cause greater division. And we have warped minds. And like my young people at Cardinal Stritch, we need to help them experience a culture of life. And the devil, like a stealth bomber, is watching to see how we react. And how we react will determine the future. Because this can easily be reversed, right? In a few generations, culture. Jesus in the gospel today set his face on Jerusalem. His face was set where he was going to be crucified. He knew what true love was. He was willing to walk with people, not judge them, challenge them, draw them into greater truth. We're going to build a culture of life, my friends. It begins with us. I couldn't think of a greater homily to preach on my last Sunday here than what my life is all about as a priest, right? To proclaim the gospel, the good news. Telling people to kill is a bad thing. We want fathers to be back with their families, mothers to be back with their families, husbands and wives to stay together. We want mothers and their children to be together. We want the family to be together. We can't cause greater division. But it's only with Jesus Christ that glue stays together.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.